Hey everyone, Tracy here, coming to you from the future. Just wanted to let you know that you can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, basically anywhere where podcasts are, we probably are there too. So go subscribe to us, leave us a review. Charles and I had recorded a handful of episodes before we started releasing them, so we didn't get a chance to say any of that during our recording. So we wanted to let you know that now and hope you're enjoying the show. Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Dawson Speak, a Dawson's Creek podcast. I am Tracy.
I'm Charles.
And we are talking about Dawson's Creek. How are you doing, Charles?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Tracy?
I am doing swimmingly. Swimmingly. I just realized I didn't look up the episode title of this episode.
Last one was called Dance, right?
Yeah.
This one is called Kiss, I think.
So you can probably predict what this episode's going to be about. It's all about the kissing. I feel like it was a very slow episode.
Yeah. Especially compared to the first two, because the first two had so much going on in them.
There's so much going on.
Is episode 3 more a regular pace for the series, you think?
No, I want to say about my viewing experience of Dawson's Creek. So I binge watched it on Netflix a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And in binge watching, sometimes you're not paying as close of attention. I think now that I'm paying more close attention, which is making me appreciate the series 1,000 times more, and I already appreciated it. So I'm glad we're doing this podcast, Charles. Oh. It's giving me a better appreciation of what I think is a classic and wonderful teen show. I don't remember how the average pace of an episode.
Okay, well, I assume it's closer to this than like the first episode.
Yeah, I think there was a lot going on in those first episodes. You know, we didn't talk enough about Scott Foley in the last episode.
Is that Cliff?
That's Cliff. Okay, Cliff Elliott. That is his last name.
He has two first names. His last name is a more realistic first name than his first name.
His name is Cliff Elliott, yeah.
Okay. Cliff Elliott, what do you want to talk about?
He's the classic jock, right? He's the classic jock that is more opposite of Dawson than Pacey is.
Yeah. Especially in episode 2. I feel like in episode 3, he develops a little bit more nuance. But we can talk about that later.
I think that's, you know, when it comes to developing the characters, because I feel like the writers had this very good sense of who the four main characters are as they're developing them, and all the other characters around them are kind of growing.
They're tropes. They're high school tropes.
They're all high school tropes, and they're growing in their storylines episode by episode, except for my least favorite character, Nellie. I think she is so annoying, and she's so frustrating. She shows up in episode 1. She's the daughter of the video store owner.
She makes the PA announcement, right, about the dance?
Yeah, she's the one who makes the PA announcement. I will say, though, and she's especially annoying in this episode, this line made me want to punch her in the face.
We need more tape from the film lab. Go fetch Doggy Dawson.
It's just so classic mean girl, but like a really frustrating way.
That is very, yeah, that's very disrespectful and dehumanizing.
Don't like her, but this, lucky for me, is her last episode. This is the last time you see her.
This is the last time you see her? I thought her dad owned the video store.
She is not in anymore. This is her last episode that she's credited for.
Okay, well, since this is her last episode, R.I.P. Nelly. I will say that at least her motivation is understandable in this episode. There's that one line where she says, like, oh, you haven't, it's not about what you've done, it's about what you haven't done. I think they were in the middle of shooting the locker room scene of the film, and Dawson is, like, picking apart her script as Cliff says it. So he says, like, insert cliche here. And then another one, yada, yada, yada. And then Nellie comes up and she's super mad at him. And she threatens Dawson that she'll tell Mr. Gold that he's interrupting the shoot so that Mr. Gold won't let Dawson into the class. And then Dawson asks Nellie, like, why do you hate me so much? What have I done? And then Nellie says, it's not about what you've done. It's about what you haven't done.
Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah. And then she's like, I've worked on this script the entire summer. And like, I understand that frustration that she feels that like she's put work into this project. And then some.
It's easier to criticize when you're standing from the outside, of course, as we are doing of Dawson's Creek.
And then some sophomore just shows up and like rips, criticizes everything. It's infuriating. I can imagine that really easily, especially when the sophomore is like Dawson.
But okay, let's realistically talk about this film though. What the hell is this film? Like, it
isn't it like,
as they were filming it, it just felt like, I don't know, what is this film?
It's,
I think that's literally a note that I have on my what a weird football movie was what I wrote down.
We never get like a full picture of it, right? Like, we know that Cliff breaks his arm. Like, it started off as a nonfiction film. It becomes a fiction film.
So he's a quarterback who has a broken arm, but he plays through it and like helps win.
Yeah, they win the championship. They win.
Okay.
I'm assuming,
and they're going to enter this into like a film festival. Maybe I'm just being judgmental. I don't know.
I'm assuming in like the real version of the events, Cliff didn't actually break his arm. He probably sprained it or something. But like, it started out as a story of last year's football season, right? And how they overcame Cliff's injury to win the championship.
How do you break your arm and not have it show? I've never broken a bone, but I feel like if you have a broken arm, it is in a cast or a sling of some sort that you can't hide.
Yeah, no, you can't play football with a broken arm. Well, you can, but like, you can't play quarterback with a broken arm.
It's just, I don't know. I've never played football, so maybe you can do a lot of things that I don't know about.
They're like, depending on what position you play, you see linebackers do a lot. If they have a sprain or like a major, like a minor fracture, so like, it's technically a break, but it's not like a giant break. They'll put a giant cast on it, and then they'll still play. And like, they don't have hands, but like, they're just trying to tackle people and like bat the ball. So this has been your lesson about American football as it relates to Dawson's Creek.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know what we didn't do when we started this episode? I didn't play the recap from episode 2. We can talk about what happened in episode 2. Let's play that really quickly.
Previously on Dawson's Creek.
Do you think my mom's sleeping with her co-anchor?
Mrs. Leary, I know.
I want to be your boy adventure.
So I'm interested.
I am sorry, Pacey. What I did was wrong.
My lips kissed back.
It's all about kissing. Like we said,
yep.
We didn't learn much from what might happen in this episode based on that recap. In my opinion, I still am frustrated with Dawson's mom. Why would you? I don't know. I have a lot of opinions because I like Mitch a lot. I think Mitch is a great character.
He's like the most perfect character, like objectively perfect character in the series, I think, at this
really?
Point. Right? Like, he has no flaws, really. Like, everything they've portrayed about him has been good. He's a supportive dad. He's like ambitious and has interesting ideas. He loves his wife. He's romantic. There's like nothing bad about him yet, right?
Yeah, there's nothing bad about him. No, he's great.
Yeah.
Team Mitch.
Team Mitch.
One of the things I brought up and I thought immediately when the episode starts with them in film class and they're all talking about the film, there is a person of color in this
start
film class.
In film class?
Doesn't it start in film class?
I thought it started in
It starts in Dawson's bedroom, but I mean like after the credits.
Oh, okay.
We'll get back to the opening scene, but they're in film class and a person of color is in the class and has a speaking line. And I immediately pointed that out. It's an African-American girl and she talks about the plot development. She brings up like a point and Nellie shoots her down and that's it. Dawson's Creek has
diversity.
Has diversity.
Also, Bodhi is a lot in this episode, too. So.
We do see Bodhi a lot. And I also wanted to bring up that in the first episode, you mentioned that you thought Bodhi was like a student of some sort. But no, they run this restaurant. I think I don't know what the reference was in the pilot where he talks about being graded on something. I think he maybe meant like being reviewed on something.
Yeah.
Because Bodhi and Bess essentially run a restaurant by the dock.
Joey's sister's name actually Bess?
Yes.
I thought that Joey was calling her sister Bessie to like make fun of how pregnant she was.
Why would she call her Bessie?
Isn't that like a cow name?
I mean, you can name a cow anything.
Yeah, but I feel like if I think of a cow that has a name, Bessie's the first name that comes to my mind.
Really? If you were to name a cow, you would name it Bessie.
Cow named Bessie is what I'm Googling right now. And the first one is, the first Google result is...
If you Google cow named Bessie, of course the first Google result is a cow named Bessie.
Okay, I'll do this in an incognito window. I'll Google just Bessie. Oh, it's a film with Queen Latifah in it about Bessie Smith. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
Wikipedia tells me that Bessie Potter's name is Elizabeth.
Oh! I guess you could use Bessie as a short name for Elizabeth if you don't want to use, like, Beth. Okay.
I love Bessie and Bodhi's relationship. I like their interaction, how they relate to Joey as well. I liked Joey's storyline in this episode a lot. And actually, speaking of Joey, this opening, I cut together a couple of some of her best zingers.
Black and white future. How retro. Did you just pull that one out of your butt or what? But romance doesn't come with a John Williams score. You used to be bitter and cynical, too. You're far more interesting. Clap hard, Dawson. You may be Tinkerbell's last hope.
I love Joey so much.
I feel like she gets the best lines.
She does get the best lines. I really feel like you get the sense that the writers love her the most. And Katie Holmes delivers them so well. And is able to just kind of... I mean, the way that she... Maybe you get a lot. You get a lot of that based on Joey's family and her relationships. That she just has that natural...
There's a lot of, like, linguistic sparring in her relationships. One of my favorite Joey lines was actually from last episode. And it was when Dawson is, like, agonizing about why Jen would be interested in Cliff. And Joey said, like, oh, where should we start? Chest measurement down? And I laughed so hard. But back to this episode.
Yeah, I think Joey, I love her relationship with Bodhi and with her sister. I think it's a very not unrealistic sister relationship. When they've, like I've said in the pilot before, they have a sister relationship, but also like a parent-child relationship because Bessie is her guardian.
Yeah.
I think Bodhi is great. I love the way that... let's talk about Joey's storyline first. We'll start with that because I think that's, to me, the best storyline. She meets Anderson.
Also not a real name.
It is. I know a lot more people named Anderson than I do Dawson.
Like it's a real name, but it's still not like a regular name.
I would argue otherwise. I think Anderson is a regular name. Like, I hear it on the regular.
The only Anderson I can think of is Cooper.
It's not an uncommon name.
Okay, so what do you remember what rank I said the name Dawson was a little bit ago? It was like 100 in last episode.
It was like 130th.
Last week on Dawson Speak, it was 130th.
Yeah, or something in the 130 range, yeah.
Yeah, Anderson currently sits at 447. So Dawson is a more popular name than Anderson, apparently.
Really? I feel like I know a lot more people named Anderson.
Well, like, these name popularity rankings is for newborns, so unless you know a lot of newborns.
No, I don't know a lot of newborns. Newborns out there, if you're listening, are you named Anderson? Let us know. Tweet us at Dawson Speak Pod. So Joey meets Anderson.
Joey meets Anderson.
Who is wearing white pants on his boat, because I feel like white pants is the thing you wear when you're on a yacht.
Anderson is really J. Crew.
Yes, he is very J. Crew. Yeah, yeah, and this is the reference that Dawson called Cliff, like, out of a J. Crew ad in the last episode to be sort of insulting to him. Anderson looks like he was probably in a catalog.
I think there's a point in this episode where, I don't remember who calls Anderson this, it might have been Dawson, but someone calls him Mr. Gap Ad. So, whoever says that, and when I heard that, I was like, Cliff is Mr. Gap Ad.
I don't know. They both look like they're out of a catalog.
Yeah. But Anderson specifically. And, like, Anderson's wearing, like, what, white pants? He's on his boat playing violin.
Oh, my gosh.
First season playing violin, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is he from New York?
I think he goes to boarding school up there, yeah. Because that's the whole dynamic between him and who he thinks is Deb, or Deborah, because that's how Joey introduces herself. Because she also talks about being at a boarding school that's in New York. And, of course, her knowledge of the boarding school...
I looked it up. Choate is in Connecticut.
Oh. So somewhere in that region, the Northwest region.
Where people from New York would send their children to go to boarding school.
Right. So I think both of them, the idea is that they're both from New York, but go to boarding schools in the area. And that's why he says, like, I want to meet up with you in New York, or like, he wants to see her again. Of course, her knowledge of New York is limited to probably what she's seen in movies or read about in a newspaper. If Google existed at the time, if she had a smartphone, this wouldn't have been an issue.
Like, she'd still have to look these things up in front of him, but it'd be less of an issue.
I felt
Anderson's
bad.
Anderson's great.
What?
Anderson's great. Anderson.
You like Anderson?
Yeah, I like better. I like him better than any of the other 15-year-old boys in this series.
I feel like Anderson's the least realistic of them all, but maybe that's because I didn't know people like that.
I mean, he probably is the least realistic of them all, but
or maybe not. Maybe this is how boarding school kids are. I have no idea. I did like their sort of frisbee date in on the beach where they built that little sand village.
That was
cute. Yeah.
It was weird though. They were talking about the JFK assassination.
Do you think this is like an early introduction of the manic pixie dream girl trope? Like
Anderson
she's
or Joey?
No, Joey. Like, Joey playing Deb. You know, she's the girl who is super hot, but also
mysterious and quirky. And
yeah, she's very quirky because she really likes recreating assassinations and talking about UFOs. And
I can see that as like, if Deborah were a character instead of Joey, like that makes sense to me because Deborah, like, is very, very much willing to like play off of Anderson.
Yeah, but it's also easier to do that when you're playing a fake person.
Yeah, it is. It's easier to be a two-dimensional trope
when you're not real.
When you're a character playing a different thing.
Yes, when you're already a fictional character playing another fictional character. I do think that Anderson as a character was introduced mainly to give something for Joey to do, like, because it's not like she's making out with anyone in Capeside, and this episode is all about kissing. Do you think that was Joey's first kiss?
Probably, right?
Because who else like, would she have kissed?
She was very hesitant to kiss Pacey while recording Dawson's film.
Yeah. But I think that's just because she doesn't like Pacey.
Yeah.
Like, it would be interesting if this was, like, her first kiss. I mean, it is somewhat romantic and mysterious, but it's also, like, tell me about your first kiss. Oh, it was with a boy I did like, but we can't see each other again. You know, it's sad.
It's with a boy who stood there in the moonlight in his white pants with a violin and a yacht. And then we kissed, and then I told him not to follow me and keep standing in the moonlight.
It's very romantic. It's very movie-esque.
Yeah, I love that Joey's the one that gets the movie finish.
Yeah, me too. Because I feel like when those storylines follow Joey and then you look back at what a disaster everyone else is, you're just kind of like, I want more of Joey, even though it's a nice balance. It is a nice balance. Not everyone's first kiss or whatever was this super dramatic, awkward moment. It was cute. I feel like Anderson and Joey had a cute relationship. I didn't look this up, but I'm fairly confident to say Anderson does not come back. There's no more so Anderson.
Sad. I'm team Anderson. This show should just be like
all the side characters.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your favorite, Pacey and Miss Jacobs. There's this line that, again, I'm going to go back to my ranting about how she should know better.
What's this?
Summary questions for the first two chapters. I'll tell you what. You answer all of them, and perhaps I'll give you some positive reinforcement.
That is a line that's just...
Yeah, that's really
so flirty. It's so suggestive.
I'll say I rewatched my last watch of episode 3 was before we recorded episode 2. And like at that point I was still putting the majority of the blame on Pacey, but after we recorded episode 2, reviewing my notes now, I'm really unhappy with Tamara,
Miss Jacobs. Yeah. I feel like of course as a 15-year-old boy, you're going to act the way you are when you like an older woman. You're going to try to be around her, and you're going to flirt and try to be, you know, in her life like that. He, of course, is being led to believe that she feels the same. She's kissed him twice now. She showed up on that dock twice at this point. She's the one who suggested private tutoring sessions. He asked her, like, oh, I might need a tutor. And then she's the one who said, okay, come by my classroom at this time. So she's leaving all these doors open for him. Of course he's going to take it. Again, he's a 15-year-old boy. Yeah, not that he's stupid, but he has less agency than she does as an older woman.
That's true.
And that line about, like, oh, positive reinforcement, what else is that supposed to mean?
Miss Jacobs, this is your fault.
This is all your fault. And that frustrates me so much. We're going to see the growth and maturing process that Pacey and that Dawson and the rest go through, but I think right now in this moment it's very difficult to imagine what the scenario would be like if like Pacey was not 15 and still trying to figure out his feelings for women. I We're going to get to the ending. We're going to talk about the explosive ending later. I don't want to talk about it right now because I'm upset. But I want to bring up the other kiss dynamic, which is Dawson and Jen.
Dawson and Jen.
I have a hard time figuring out if I like this relationship or not.
It's not my favorite so far. I'm not actively rooting for them to get together.
And I almost feel like, is it because we don't know enough about Jen or because we know too much about Dawson and want Jen to do better?
It's probably a little bit both. Like, what do we know about Jen, really?
So like, we know that she is living with her grandparents.
She came from New York. Something happened to her in New York.
Yeah, her parents sent her, essentially, even though Jen tells people that she came to help her grams out, but we get the sense that her parents sent her.
Is that it?
That's pretty much all we know about Jen.
Yeah.
We also know that she doesn't drink and do drugs because Rinelli asked her in the first episode, like, do you like to party?
Jen
said, I like to party, but substance free. She's a virgin. We learned that in the first episode, too.
We learned that thanks to Joey. But apart from that, like, she of the four main characters, she's the least developed main character right now, I feel.
But I think that doesn't mean it's making it difficult to root for her and Dawson. I just think that
the chemistry isn't there. Yeah, and, like, I don't have any emotional investment into Jen as a character either.
I think that there's more curiosity. Like, when I think back to my first rewatches of this, it was like, ooh, who is this girl? But I also knew, oh, that's Michelle Williams. That's interesting. But I do love, and I talked about this in the last episode, the developing friendship between Jen and Joey, which to me I'm more interested in than Jen and Dawson at this point. But I love how when Joey was pretending to be Deborah. Deb, and Anderson is, walks into the restaurant, and Dawson does not play it cool.
I hate Dawson in that scene so much.
But also, have you not gone through those moments where you've been that dense? I mean,
I don't think, I'm a very dense person. I don't think I've ever been that dense. Like, Bodhi figured it out from across the room in the kitchen.
I loved that. I loved the way that Bodhi basically helped her out that.
That was great. Bodhi figured it out faster than her sister did.
I think even if Bess figured it out, she probably was just like, what are you doing, Joey? Like, she's probably more exasperated. Like, I need help right now. And also, she's pregnant, so give her her pass.
Yeah, that's true.
I think Bodhi is a great character. I wish that they developed him a little bit more other than these sporadic scenes. I get that this episode or the show is not about him, but I love his and Joey's dynamic of, like, he's kind of like a father figure, of course, to her. But also that older brother to help her out like that. I love the way that Jen kind of jumps in to, solidarity to help her.
Jen is great.
I think it's great. You said you weren't invested emotionally in Jen.
Okay, Jen's interaction with Joey in that scene is great. It makes me so happy.
Yeah, their friendship makes me happy. Yeah, Dawson, however, what are you doing, Dawson?
Jen and Joey, platonic Jen and Joey is the one true pairing of this show so far for me.
I rarely hear people call it one true pairing. Just OTP.
One true pair.
Yeah, Dawson does not play it cool, but he's just oblivious. That's fine.
Mm. He's like, what's he doing that scene? He's getting food for the juniors and seniors, isn't he? Because he orders like 10 fish and chips and like 12 burgers.
So in the filming of this movie,
Helmets of Glory.
Wait, what? It's called Helmets of Glory.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't go to a traditional high school.
Yeah.
I went to a private school, and even in our college, we went to a college that didn't have a football team.
Yes.
So I've never really experienced life with a football team like that. I don't get the movie. I still don't get it.
The high school I went to had just opened, so there was no big deals on campus really. So I can't comment on the role of a football team in an average what state are they in?
Massachusetts
High School.
Also, all of the actors in this film, are they all also on the football team? So it's really them just recreating what happened to them last year.
Yeah, I have a feeling that this film class is mostly jocks.
That's so odd. I also don't get we also didn't have these film production type classes in high school.
We
have so
much
equipment and a random wheelchair just sitting on the field as they're filming.
Okay, I have issues with that. The wheelchair doesn't show up until Pacey comes in with the wheelchair, right?
Yeah.
Why does Pacey have a wheelchair?
Maybe it was part of the film because the quarterback was injured, so maybe the Beagle shared him.
That makes sense.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
And like,
I had that question too when I was watching. Like, where did that come from? Why is it there?
And like, so while they're shooting that scene where it's a tracking shot and they don't have a track, like, I have a few nitpicky issues with it. Dawson says, like, oh, when he's like criticizing everyone's like work, he's like, oh, there's like an arm technique you can use to get more stability. And then he, like, when he shoots it, he doesn't use the technique. And Nelly, when she's talking about the scene with Cliff, Nelly says to Cliff, I know you want this like tracking scene thing, but we may just have to use a tripod for it. And she calls it a tracking scene. So she knows there should be a track. Like, why is she having someone run around with a giant camera?
Because they didn't know that the wheelchair was there. So this goes back to your first point. They didn't know. Apparently none of them saw that wheelchair, unless it was part of the film. I think they just didn't connect the two, right? Because In their head, in film class, when they learned about tracking, there was a literal track. They didn't think to use the wheelchair because no one is as smart as Dawson in this film class.
Apparently, I guess. At my high school, we didn't have a film production class or anything. We had a photo lab with a dark room. And we had like a bunch of people like running around on campus with like cheap cameras, like making crappy YouTube videos. Some of my friends being them, but like film production classes, especially in the 90s, were expensive because they're using actual film.
Yeah.
And like giant cameras and like
it's so expensive. Much money. I wonder how much money the school has.
Maybe they get a lot of like tourist tax money. Maybe that's why.
I don't know. That's the other thing I wanted to talk about, the economy of Cape Side and a little bit of its layout. Now, I don't know if there's ever been a map made of Cape Side. If somebody has that, I'd like them to send it, because this secret haven that they go to, this like estate, this giant estate that
the ruins.
Yeah, like it seems like a very small town, and yet there's this giant area where it's like this secretive garden, essentially.
Yeah, geography wise, it doesn't make much sense to me. But like they at least try to explain it as like, oh, it's a very rich man who like built this for his wife who was dying.
Maybe the very rich man left all of his money to Cape Side High.
Maybe.
To make films.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that that last scene there in the secret haven. First off, did Dawson film his first kiss?
Well, they didn't kiss.
They didn't. Not at that point. Was he trying?
Do you think he was planning on it? I think he was planning on it.
I think he was trying to film his first kiss.
Yeah. Which is kind of creepy.
That just goes back to Dawson wanting so hard for everything to be like a movie, but like the way he was setting it up, I don't think he bought Jen there specifically to kiss her. I think it's
you don't
just
think
sort of,
so.
I don't know. I think they were.
I think
filming.
He knew it was a possibility.
I think he knew it was a possibility. Yeah.
When he was talking about it with Pacey about shooting like the final scene there, Pacey was like, "Oh, it's like a perfect place to steal." Like, I don't think he said steal a kiss, but he said like, "Oh, to kiss like a leading lady or something." And, like, was very winky-winky about it.
I mean, I think it probably came up in his head. I think he probably didn't think that was going to be the moment. But I'm sure as they were filming in, he saw how pretty she looked and everything. Like, especially with the background. He was setting up those cloth things in the background or whatever. I that frustrated me so much when it happened.
Wait, are we talking about the recording or the other thing?
The recording. We can talk about the other thing.
Let's finish with the recording first. That was, like, strange.
What
specifically frustrated you about it?
About Dawson trying to film his first kiss?
Yeah.
He's trying to film his first kiss. It's just a weird thing, and it was so frustrating because it's like, Dawson can't be that stupid. What was he going to do with it? What was he going to do afterwards after they kissed? Be like, oh, let me go stop the camera? Like,
I don't think he like thought ahead that far.
Why did he think that would be a good idea? Like, who thinks that's a good idea? It's just so frustrating.
He's a dumb 15-year-old boy.
I want to root for Dawson. That's the thing. Like, I'm trying very hard to play the Dawson, go Dawson side. It's hard because he does stuff like this.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the other thing.
You want to talk about the other thing? Pacey and Miss Jacobs. Now, first off, The scene in the classroom where, like, he's being kind of suggestive to her, and then she closes all the blinds and is like, okay, do you want to do it? We should do it on the desk. Like, she basically scares him a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they end up doing it. I want to know what happened in that progression. Like, what? And also, why would you?
I don't know what happened in between, like, her scaring him and them going to the ruins. Because wasn't, like the scene with Mr. Gold took place in between those two scenes, right?
Yeah. Where he was going to walk her home. Yeah.
Yeah. When Pacey was like lurking in the wheelchair, how did that interaction between he and Tamara go? Like, how did it end?
She basically said, Mr. Gold's going to walk me home.
Yeah. And then she left, right? She just exited and he stood there. What happened after that?
Based on the last two episodes, I have to assume that she went to the dock. I just don't understand. If you're going to have a secret affair with an underage teenager, does she not have a home that is empty that she could go to? Like, why do it outside?
Like, on some grass, and there's, like,
a blanket. Where anyone can walk by. It is not a private
garden. It's not a private... it's not like there's not a lot of privacy, and it's private property. Like, Dawson and Pacey both talked about how, like, oh, you have to be careful because, like, you could get caught trespassing.
And also, if Pacey knows that Dawson's going to be shooting a scene there because they talk about it, why would he bring Tamara there? Makes
no sense.
It was so, as soon as that happened, I immediately was just like, and I remember my reaction when I first watched this episode. Was the same as it was rewatching it, because I knew it was coming. And I was so, like, cringe about it. It frustrates me even more than Dawson trying to film his first kiss did. I don't know what happened between those two scenes, but...
Does someone eventually, like, go to jail?
I'm not going to talk about what happens eventually. What frustrates me additionally is I think they staged it the way they did for the purposes of having it on camera, right? Because that's the only way that... You mean,
like, Tamara and Pacey getting caught on...
Sure, I mean, it's on Dawson's camera.
Yeah, it's on Dawson's camera. Yeah.
What was your reaction when that happened?
Oh, I was so angry.
Again, I'm mad because Pacey's being stupid, but I'm more angry at Miss Jacobs.
Yeah, Miss Jacobs. You're the adult here.
Exactly. Like,
she should have just walked home, Mr. Gold, watched a movie, like, maybe in three seasons, marry Mr. Gold, but no. No.
This is the now life you could have led, Miss Jacobs. You could have married the film teacher.
It would have been great. You had chemistry. He's, like, the appropriate age. You'd be a dual-income household in, like, the 90s. Would have been great. Would have both retired with, like, government pensions before, like, any horrible financial crashes. Travel the world. But no, you have to sleep with a 15-year-old boy who is, quote-unquote, on the verge of manhood.
So anger-inducing.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions about this episode? About anything that happened in this episode?
I have some, like, reactions that I'll go over later.
Oh, you can go over them. What are your actions?
They're really dumb. But you know when Pacey, like, stays after class the first time because he didn't get his, like, quiz or test back or whatever?
Yeah.
Tamara's last name again?
Miss Jacobs.
Miss Jacobs. I keep forgetting. But when Miss Jacobs said, like, oh, you got, like, a prime number on your...
I thought of that, too. It could have been a higher number.
You know what number is prime? 97 is prime. That's the first prime number under 100 I thought of. What else? Oh, and when Pacey is trying to, like, romance Miss Jacobs by getting oysters to go from the restaurant, you don't take oysters to go for, like, 4 hours. You're going to get sick if you eat them. I'm assuming they don't get eaten, because if they did, there would not be a sex scene at the end. Like, people would be vomiting. Anderson, he reminded me a little bit of a poor man's, like, Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Really?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas if he were older and taller. What else?
I guess. I can see that.
Okay. Let's talk about Cliff a little bit.
Okay.
So, I feel like Cliff becomes a little bit more of a, like, empathetic character in this episode. Because, like, you still don't like him a lot, but most, like, in episodes one, or he was introduced in episode two?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, the things that you don't like about him in episode two, like, he's, like, a regular jockey, like, not that smart kind of guy, I feel like get pushed onto Nelly in this episode. And then, in this episode, there's nothing particularly negative about Cliff. He has bad taste, maybe, and he's like not a good writer, but he like cares about what he's making.
Yeah. No, and, he's like, a nice guy. But yeah, he's a genuinely open, nice guy.
And he's open to like Dawson's critiques and like knowledge when it comes up.
Yeah, he says to Nelly, like, wait, let's hear him out when the tracking thing comes up. No, I think they try to give him a little more depth so that he's not just like the jock that's standing in the way of Dawson and Jen getting together. I think they're trying to develop him as a better character. I will say that he's not like a recurring character in the entire series. Oh, I will say that.
Is this his last episode too?
This is not his last episode. No, this is definitely Nelly's last episode, but this isn't his last episode.
Okay.
I think the problem with Cliff is that maybe the writers wanted to do something with him, but the love triangle is a stronger chemistry in the Jen, Joey, Dawson world than there is in like a Cliff, Dawson, Jen kind of experience. That's not a very interesting triangle. It's kind of boring. But okay, I did like Cliff better in this episode. I didn't really dislike him in the last episode at all. He didn't really do anything in the last episode besides ask Jen to a dance and then, you know, get into a weird altercation with Dawson over it.
Yeah. In which he was, like, perfectly justified.
It's that attempt of, like, being, like, he's not just the quarterback. He has feelings.
Yeah. He knows he really wants his tracking shot, and he's willing to hear people out. And it's not horrible. He's okay. Anderson's an okay guy. He also has... Not Anderson. Cliff is an okay guy.
Yes. Charles mixes his names up a lot.
It's because I want to talk about Anderson some more.
What about Anderson?
Is this his last episode?
I think this is his only episode. Let me look it up just to confirm with you, but I don't think he's not a recurring character.
What a bummer.
Yeah, he's only in one episode. Here's how he's described on the fan wikia.
Hold on. Let's talk about him first, and then we can read his fan wiki. I don't want my understanding of Anderson affected by...
What's your understanding of Anderson?
So before that, who lets their son, who lets their 15-year-old son just drive a boat?
That seems irresponsible
on his parents' part.
No, I feel like the idea you're supposed to get is that, like, these kids are mature. They are independent. They, you know, have the privilege to be independent. I'm sure he also didn't have to ask his parents' permission. He probably just did it.
Yeah. Why do you think Joey, like, is so hesitant to continue a relationship with Anderson?
Because she's lying about herself.
Yeah, but, like, I feel... Do you think she doesn't get that, like, he realizes that and thinks it's okay anyways?
I think she doesn't realize it till the end. Like, are you asking why she threw his phone number out the window?
Yeah.
She probably was embarrassed.
Yeah, but, like, by that point, like...
Not only was she embarrassed, but I think she also realized, like, her real self wasn't going to live up to her fake self. It's not like she would ever be able to just go to New York and, like, do all the things that she talked about doing.
Yeah, but
I feel
like
she was already creating it as sort of like, I think even as she was going about pretending and fake dating him or whatever, I think in her head she never expected it to be anything until after they kissed, and then she probably realized, like, oh shoot, there are feelings here, and, you know, for as sassy and as quirky as Joey is, she's not somebody who wants to hurt somebody that she does genuinely think is, like, a nice person.
That's such a bummer, though. Like... In my headcanon, there's a version of this show where, like, it just becomes Anderson and Joey.
And wouldn't it be funny if, like, I was lying to you and basically the series finale is Joey and Anderson running away together and starting a family?
I would be so upset and so happy at the same time.
Anderson is not a character in the show. Let me read you the Wikia description. Okay. He was a charming boy from a wealthy family docking in Capeside during the summer in season one and serves as a romantic interest for Joey Potter. He plays the violin. He plays the violin. Yeah. That's the only description of him, besides being from a wealthy family. Fan fiction that you're going to write about Dawson's Creek, develop out Anderson Crawford.
I enjoyed, like, not just their actual courting process, but, like, the technical aspects of it. Like, I looked up all these things in New York that I vaguely knew about. Boulay has reopened since it closed, by the way. It is in Tribeca. The Rainbow Room is not that nice. I would not want to dance the entire night away there.
I think it was nicer probably back in the day before it became all touristy, right?
Yeah. Is it, like, particularly touristy right now?
I think it's iconic in that, you know, it's mentioned or seen in a lot of movies and TV shows. In the same way that, like, the Empire State Building is is seen as iconic because of Sleepless in Seattle and because of An Affair to Remember. That's the movie that they watch in Sleepless in Seattle, and that's where they get the idea to go to the top of the Empire State Building. But I think it's, like, very much in, you know, you live in New York now, I used to live in New York. I think there's so many, it's like New Year's in Times Square, all these things that are not actually, once you experience it, maybe as iconic as the movies made them seem.
It just bums me out, because, like, Anderson gives his phone number to Joey, fully knowing that, like, she's not from New York. He knows that she's been lying to him a lot. He makes a point where, like, he mentions multiple times that, like, telling the truth, and the truth is, like, very important to him. And he gives her, like, so many opportunities. And even after that, like, he's like, well, call me sometime anyways. And the fact that he just dies on the vine is, like, bums me out.
I think she was probably embarrassed, and that's probably why. And also, I'm sure she had that insecurity of, like, the person that he thinks he met and that he thinks I could be. Because maybe, you know, he has a bunch of different scenarios in his head of why she's lying.
Yeah.
She doesn't believe that whatever version of herself he is expecting is going to live up to. She herself is never going to live up to whatever he's expecting.
It's never going to...
And then what would be the point? She would call him and they would have a phone relationship? Like, there's... She probably...
People do that.
But she probably doesn't see a point to it. I mean, being a 15-year-old girl who lives in a completely different state than this bougie upper-class guy from a rich family. Like,
this J. Crew ad.
Mr. J. Crew ad over there. Like, I think she probably doesn't see a point to it. And, you know, Joey is much more grounded in reality than any of the other teens on the show that... Her realistic, like, if this were Dawson, you know, of course he would fantasize a million possibilities, I think. But for Joey, realistically, she's like, this is not my life. Any other questions that you have, Mr. Lamb?
I remember a little bit ago, someone was taking BuzzFeed quizzes about Dawson's Creek. And there were, I think it was like, which one of the characters are you?
Oh, it was you and me. Yeah, we were doing it at work. It was you, me, and our friend Steph.
And I think Anderson was one of the
really?
The results you could get. Like, this might have been, like, other people taking the quiz that we took on my Facebook feed. So one of them might have gotten Anderson.
Okay, I'm going to send you the BuzzFeed quiz right now. We're going to put a pause on our podcast, and we're going to take this quiz.
Like, ah, got Dawson.
I got Dawson, too. Okay, we both got Dawson. You may be an overly verbose and... Oh, God, how do you pronounce this word? Perspicacious? Perspicacious adolescent. But the upside is that you grow to become a Hollywood power player. Spoiler alert.
Is that what happens to Dawson?
I'm not going to say. So we both got Dawson. We're basically the same person. We're going to tweet this BuzzFeed link so you all can take it and let us know what Dawson's Creek character you are. I think I got Dawson because I chose, like, for the pick a movie, I chose Casablanca. And I, what are you doing on a Sunday? Working on a personal project. Those are very Dawson things.
I picked The Royal Tenenbaums and what is that other one? Yeah, working on a personal project. I feel that my Sunday answer is not particularly true because the personal project I would be working on is, like, my laundry. But... I was thinking about this during episode 3. Like, I wish I could be an Anderson, but I'm realized that I am a Dawson.
Who wishes they could? Who watches Dawson's Creek and wishes they could be Anderson?
Hey,
I don't think Anderson is a possibility for this quiz. I don't know how you can find
it. I looked at the comments. It doesn't look like anyone got Anderson.
No, so. No, because who would be no?
So does Dawson go to UCLA?
I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to keep watching.
Who's this character between Dawson
out.
And Joey?
You will find out. For listeners out there, he's talking about Jack, who's one of, I think...
Who will be the character with the most normal name in the TV show.
Who's a great character. Any other addendum, any other notes that you got there? Any questions you have as we wrap
Let's
up our episode?
Let's see. I do enjoy the, like, entire arc of this episode, the more I think about it. Like, how it opens with Joey and Dawson, like, watching From Here to Eternity. And then, like, how it ends with, or basically, it ends with Joey getting like the movie kiss and then Dawson getting the opposite of a movie kiss. That was fun. I appreciate it.
Oh, where Dawson
that.
Tries to make his kiss a movie, essentially.
Yeah. And then like it fails and then he kisses Jen while like sitting under a
gazebo. That was cute.
We
didn't talk about Jen and Dawson's first kiss. I thought it was a cute kiss.
Yeah, it's still a cute kiss.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? Oh, I like, so there are two reasons I don't like pacing. One of which is quickly disappearing. I don't like, or I didn't like how he handled the relationship with Tamara, which I will acquiesce. Is that the right word? I'll concede to you that it's not really his fault.
Yeah.
But the second reason I don't like Pacey is because he's so mean to Joey. And in this episode, he's just more mean to Joey. And like,
I have things I want to say. Listeners will probably know, but I'm not going to say it.
I can forgive like Pacey being mean to Joey if there were more like, I'm convinced I haven't seen them be nice to each other. And in this episode, Pacey just straight up calls Joey a serving wench.
I don't... I agree if you're watching episode by episode like this for the first time. I think that might have been my first reaction as well. I think the two of them have more depth in their story coming up.
Well, that better get here soon.
I think once we get over the ickiness of Miss Jacobs, it'll be better for Pacey's development.
I've gone through my notes. That is everything I wanted to talk about. Do you have any questions about high school? There wasn't much high school in this.
There wasn't much high school. I think my only questions were all the football stuff, which we already talked about.
Yeah.
There
wasn't much Dawson's parents in this either, which is kind of weird to me because it's like the previously on Dawson's Creek, like featured his parents.
Yeah. Was there anything? Are we blanking? Did we miss something about his parents and about?
I don't think so. I rewatched it this morning. I don't think there was anything there.
It didn't go into it. Yeah, that's very weird.
Especially since like the ending of episode two is like them reliving their first kiss after his mom had gone to this gala where I'm assuming her co-anchor was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I assume this is what episode four will be for.
We'll find out. All right, let's rate the episode. Out of 10, what do you got?
You know, the more I think about this episode, the more I like it. I'm going to give it an 8.
What?
Yeah.
And mostly because 8? I love... You liked it the most out of all the episodes you watched so far?
Yeah. No,
is it because you love Anderson?
It's because I love Anderson. I love Joey and Anderson. I love that it started out with the, like, what films? From Here to Eternity, like,
yeah.
Kiss setup, and it uses that as a frame for the entire episode. I really enjoy that.
Oh my goodness. I can't believe you're giving it an 8. That's so high.
I'm giving it an 8.
Wow. I'm shocked. The more we talked about it, the more I was like, okay, I guess I'm giving it a 5, honestly. I did not like this episode. I think mainly because I hated that ending. It did feel a little bit slow to me. Not as slow now that we're talking about it and kind of picking it apart. I love Joey's storyline. I think for me, that's the only thing that really saves it. I didn't like this episode as much as you did. I think
it's got okay.
This weird attachment to Anderson.
We can have different opinions.
That's so interesting that you really liked this episode. But if you really like this episode, and I do feel like the pace of a lot of the episodes is matched to this, I think that you'll respond more to future episodes then.
We'll see.
All right. Well, what we've learned from this episode is that Charles is Team Anderson.
Team Anderson. Hashtag Team Anderson.
And that we are both Dawson. We are Charles is a Dawson is a Anderson wannabe in a Dawson's world. All right. Well, you can let us know. We're gonna tweet out that BuzzFeed quiz. We want to know what Dawson's Creek character you are. If we're all Dawsons, we all need to have a come to Jesus moment. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Dawson Speak Pod. You can email us your rants about how much Charles hates Pacey at DawsonSpeakPod@gmail.com.
Pacey's a jerk.
You can share your love of Anderson with us at any of these platforms. We want to know. We want to know from you.
Anderson is such a Prince Charming.
Oh my God.
Clap hard, Dawson. You may be Tinkerbell's last hope.